WGBW 1590 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Chuck Sievertson. Among those campaigning in battleground state Pennsylvania for Kamala Harris, her boss in Philadelphia, President Biden.
4 years ago, I picked Kamala to be my vice president. I picked her because she's smart and tough. She's a first-rate district attorney out in California, an attorney general, and then U.S. Senator. But most of all, I picked her because she has character and she has integrity.
Georgians have demolished the previous first-day early voting record today. Over 300,000 votes cast, says the Secretary of State's office. It's more than double the previous record in 2020. Family of a man killed by Hurricane Helene flooding in Tennessee has filed a wrongful death lawsuit against the company he worked for. They claim workers were forced to stay even when managers knew conditions were becoming dangerous. Two men arrested for a mass shooting that left one person dead, nine injured near a Tennessee State University homecoming football game last weekend. This is ABC News. Artificial intelligence has already made it into the classroom. One Massachusetts family is suing over how a school reacted to its use.
A student at Hingham High School is being accused of using ChatGPT to help complete an assignment.
They told us that our son cheated on a paper, which is not what happened.
In a lawsuit, his parents say he used AI to research the paper, not to write it. And mom Jennifer Harris says the school's handbook only added language about AI after her son got a detention.
They basically punished him for a rule that doesn't exist.
The school says they do have AI policies and have spoken to students about how to use it. Mike Dubusky, ABC News.
The Pentagon granting honorable discharges to more than 800 veterans who were separated from the military because of their sexual orientation during the 1994 to 2011 Don't Ask, Don't Tell policy. Survivors of last year's deadly wildfire in Maui will get an additional year of housing assistance from FEMA. Chuck Sievertson, ABC News.
Farmers in Wisconsin have always been ahead of the times, and it's no different in the mid-1800s. George Esterly was running a large wheat farm outside of Whitewater, but reaping his crop by hand was back-breaking work. Esterly invented a mechanical harvesting machine and used it in his own fields in 1844. He then won a Chicago Mechanics Gold Medal 4 years later. But was he the first in the country to build a harvesting machine? The answer is coming up. Esterly followed up his win by opening a factory in the Whitewater area, building the harvesting machines and eventually other farm equipment too. By the 1880s, 500 people worked there. So was Esterly the first in the country to build a new mechanical harvesting machine? Yes, this man's early farm invention lives on as a remarkable slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr.
I'm Lisa Hale with WGBW News. Your news in depth. Find it in the news section at WGBW.fm.
Civic Media News, I'm Derek Tritz. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Ballots can't be processed before Election Day in Wisconsin. Voter advocates say that this could make Wisconsin vulnerable to lies and conspiracy theories about the results.
Due to that policy or lack thereof in Wisconsin, I think we will potentially see some delays in the counting of mail ballots and therefore delays in unofficial results in the state this year.
Brian Hinkle is with the Movement Advancement Project. A bill to legalize early ballot processing died for lack of action in the state Senate this year. Thousands of chickens in western Wisconsin have been left homeless after the company Pure Prairie Poultry abandoned its Wisconsin farms. There are still 30,000 chickens who used to belong to the company's flocks being given away by volunteers with Pips and Chicks. Local farms giving away chickens can be found on the Pips and Chicks Facebook page. And that's what you need to know. I'm Derek Tritz, and this is Civic Media News.
The Badgers back at practice. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports, college football. The Wisconsin Badgers preparing for another road trip, this time at Northwestern to face the Wildcats. Wide receiver Will Pauling, questionable despite not suffering a concussion against Rutgers. Luke Fickle says with 6 weeks into the season, he'll be paying more attention to players with injuries.
There's a balance to what you're doing, but you are starting to get to that middle of the second half of the season. This is a different league now, and you do have to be able to handle things a little bit different as you get to that mid-second half of the season.
NBA, the Bucks got their first win of the preseason with a 111-107 victory over the Chicago Bulls. The Bucks' new guard, Gary Trent Jr., and forward Taurean Prince got some playing time together. Head coach Doc Rivers.
They both have been fantastic. They're both very physical. And on the other end, they don't press. TP gets 5 shots or 10 shots or 1 shot. The demeanor is the exact same. You need players like that.
That's Bucks head coach Doc Rivers. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly clear tonight, a low in the low 30s, freeze warning issued. Sunshine returns tomorrow, a little warmer, high mid-50s. For Thursday and Friday, sunshine continues along with the warming trend. Breezy, high mid-60s Thursday, upper 60s Friday. Currently, it's 44 degrees.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome a couple National Lampoon guys, writer Jeff Tully and actor and voice of the network Jamie Kaler. And the Marinette Rec Center's Sean Katzbeck talks blues, brews, and barbecue.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 till 8. The Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
They are going to become more brutal.
Courtney Cuff, Henry Cutter gave him.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade.
Ha ho, hey Kargi Wee, Hokshonepee, all of our friends and relatives in Four Directions. You are listening to Native Roots Radio, where we discuss local and national Native news, stories, and events. It's Haley Cherry, producer, kicking off the show for my Daga, my uncle, Robert Pilot, Ho-Chunk Rajaku, Wakunja Hade, Distant Thunder. I want to introduce myself in a good way. Thank you guys for tuning in to this episode. My Ho-Chunk name is Chashep Hawangwe-Nik, which means Little Eagle Princess. I am a descendant of my relatives from the Eagle Clan, Chashep Clan of Ho-Chunk Nation in Wisconsin, and the Winnebago Tribe in Nebraska. Before we get any further into this first segment here, I want to wish everyone a happy, fun Friday on Native Roots Radio. I want to give a shout out to Strong Hearts Native Helpline. October is Domestic Violence Awareness Month, and Strong Hearts offers culturally appropriate support and advocacy for Native Americans. They're completely anonymous, it's free, and they're 24/7, 365 days. You can call or text them at 1-844-7-NATIVE. That's 1-844-762-8483. Or you can chat anonymously online at strongheartshelpline.org. Well, we got a show for you guys today. We've got Mary Kunish, Minnesota State Senator, who is a descendant of the Standing Rock Sioux Tribe. She's going to be dropping in with a couple updates, so we'll hear from her a little bit later in this first segment, and then as well the second segment. Robert and Wendy are going to be joining us again a little bit later in the show, and we're going to finish this episode with some weekend events coming up. As we all hopefully know by now, on Monday, October 14th, is Indigenous Peoples Day. I know some of our calendars still might say that Monday is Columbus Day. Who is that? Don't know him. Wish I really didn't. But yeah, we can cross that one off our calendars and circle that Indigenous Peoples Day, please. It's one of the days that I look forward to probably the most throughout the year. It's one day of the year where we can celebrate our resilience, celebrate the fact that we're still here and that our ancestors were able to overcome everything that they did, which we know is quite a lot. We as generations that come after that, I know a lot of us carry residual grief and generational grief and generational trauma. And it's so important to not only recognize the hardships that us as Native people and Native families have gone through, but also recognize our celebrations as well. I want to quickly acknowledge that yesterday, October 10th, was World Mental Health Day. This was a post that I saw on Facebook from Seeing Red Media. They are in the Six Nations of the Grand River area. These are six things that contribute to a good mind and spirit from an Indigenous lens, which I think is so important. Connection to the land, recognizing that the land is a source of life and spirit. Connection to culture, engaging in traditional ceremonies and storytelling. Help identify and fosters good mental health. Connecting with your community and family, kinship. Foster the resilience and sense of a purpose. Spirituality, beliefs and practices offer guidance and healing, as well as movement and wisdom from your elders. You spend your whole life inside your head. Make sure it's a good place to be. That's coming from Seeing Red Media on Facebook. We thank you for that. And before we run out of time, I want to introduce our first update from Minnesota State Senator Mary Kunish.
Hello, everybody. It's State Senator Mary Kunish, and it is October 11th, 2024, and we're in the season of Pataetu, in the autumn, the moon of change, when we're all preparing for the cold winter months, though it hasn't felt like October these past few weeks. But I hope everybody is enjoying this beautiful weather before winter arrives, and that you're all getting ready for the weather that we know is going to come, but not quite sure what it's going to be like again this next winter. This is also, of course, the season of elections, and I just want to remind everybody how important it is that each and every one of us, 18 years or older, get out there and vote and participate in the process of choosing the leaders and the decision-making makers in our communities. A lot of our cities, our municipalities, have city council members, have county folks that are getting elected. We have in the legislature all of our House of Representatives. All of our state representatives are up for re-election. And then in the Senate, we have just our one person. It's a special election, and Johnson Stewart. And we're hoping that she will prevail and the Democrats will keep the majority in the Senate. But do your best to get out there and learn about the people that are running, if they're incumbents, people that have been there for a while representing you. Ask yourself and look at their record and see if they are really representing you and your community in the best way. And if not, then look at the alternative. You know, who else is running for office in those positions that might make a difference for your community? And I think it's especially important that we Indigenous people, whether we live on our reservations or whether we live in the Twin Cities urban area or suburbs or any of the cities around the state, that you are really looking at who it is that is leading you in your community and see if they're doing the best for you. Don't forget to look at the school board elections, because those are the people that are making decisions. And we know there are still folks out there that are looking to create an educational system that is not inclusive, that does not allow for the recognition of the unique cultures and the unique languages and the unique models that we have in our communities, in our schools. I've been hearing lately about a couple of the community, the schools that have folks still trying to ban really, really good books. And maybe they don't agree with the content of the book. Maybe it addresses LGBTQ. Maybe it addresses slavery or the truth around our Indigenous history, or perhaps it has some language in there that they don't approve of and insist on having removed from their school. Well, you know, their kids don't have to read those books. And perhaps there are people that, students that can relate to what the content of those books are. And it's important that we are hanging tight when it comes to our school boards, enforcing the fact that we're not going to ban books in Minnesota. And so I hope that you're getting a plan out there. You're getting ready to vote if you haven't voted. If you're not sure who to vote for, where to vote, go to the Secretary of State, Minnesota. Just Google that. And there is a plethora. There is tons of information. You can put in your address, find your voting place where you can go vote early. But please make a plan to vote between now and November 5th and make sure that your family and your friends are doing just the same.
You're listening to Native Roots Radio. We'll be right back after this short break.
When we heal from our traumas,
when we face our fears,
let go of our addictions,
when we relearn our values,
when we live our teachings,
respecting our elders,
cherishing and honoring our children,
when we honor and take care of our spirit,
there will be no room left for sexual violence.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Hi, I'm Mary T., inviting you to experience our integrative Mary T. Health and Wellness Center, offering physical, occupational, speech, and lymphedema therapies. Experience our guided imagery, meditation, Tibetan medicine, dry needling, massage services, including cupping and oncology massage. Sign up for our free wellness screenings and learn more at MaryTWellness.com. All major health insurance providers are accepted. Come for therapy. Experience wellness.
Indigenous communities are on the front lines of air pollution. Pipelines, mines, and waste incinerators are often built near our homes, harming Mother Earth and our health. The result? Higher rates of asthma, diabetes, heart disease, and other serious health problems. In the Twin Cities, air pollution disproportionately affects Native and Black communities. Indigenous Minnesotans, especially in the metro, experience over twice the rate of asthma compared to white Minnesotans. This pollution affects our quality of life and the future of our children. In Minneapolis, our vote helped close the Smith Foundry and bituminous roadways. Let's continue using our vote to fight for climate justice. Make Voting a Tradition, or MVAT, empowers Native communities by increasing voter turnout and supporting conversations about critical issues like clean air, water, and health. By getting involved, we shape the policies that protect our families and environment. Find your nearest polling location at sos.state.mn.us. Let's make voting a tradition for future generations.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Native American Community Clinic on Franklin Avenue in Minneapolis, honoring health and tradition. We're back now with Minnesota State Senator Mary Kunish as she wraps up her Fun Friday update.
Hey, I'm back, State Senator Mary Kunish. I know I was just talking about elections and making sure you have a plan to participate. Get your family and friends out there to vote, too. That's an important date coming up on November 5th. But Monday is also a really super important date. It is Indigenous Persons Day. And I hope that all of you out there somehow find a way to recognize the importance of that day and acknowledge the fact that we are still here. I know that many of us learned that that phrase in 1492, Columbus sailed the ocean blue, leaving us with the story that there was nothing here on Turtle Island before Columbus and his explorers landed in the Americas. But we know, and our ancestors know, that the indigenous people have been here and been populating the Western Hemisphere for tens of thousands of years. And with European contact, I think we all recognize the devastating of loss of life through disease, murder, war, boarding schools, addiction, homelessness, violence against women. All of these things caused a loss of culture, a loss of life, and certainly a disruption of tradition in our indigenous community. And we've experienced an enormous amount of loss of lands, which many people, including myself, are working really hard to sort of undo the complicated land grabs that we have had. I think I read somewhere that in the 130 years following the first contact of Europeans, there are only about 5% of our population left. So the Native America lost 95% of its population. And so I hope that we all find a way to acknowledge the tragedy that our ancestors have lived through and are living through to this day, and recognize that we are still continuing to fight and to maintain our integrity and the viability of our indigenous language, of our society, of our cultures. We may have persisted and in many ways adapted ourselves, but we are still very resilient, and we really appreciate all of the people, our allies, and all of those that worked hard to recognize Indigenous Peoples Day. And we will continue to celebrate it on the second Monday of October rather than the other day it was, and recognize the resilience and the diversity and the beauty of our Indigenous people in the United States. So just going to wish you a happy Indigenous Persons Day a few days early here. I think I also wanted to kind of talk about some of the good stuff that we've been able to do at the state legislature. I want to remind you that in the Minnesota House, there are three Indigenous persons. Jamie Becker Finn is retiring, and so she's not running for re-election. So we want to say thank you very much. Make sure you stop in at Mukwa Coffee in Roseville and thank her and show your appreciation. We have Leish Koslowski, who represents up in the Duluth area. And then we have Representative Keeler, who is over in the Moorhead area. And then there's myself. In the Minnesota Senate, we also have Senator Green, who serves. He's a white earth enrollee. We folks who are working hard to represent our communities are really doing some incredible things. And I think I shared with you that I've been to a lot of conferences this summer, and everybody's asking me, how do we do it in Minnesota? Because we've been able to pass so many incredible pieces of legislation that have positive effect on our Indigenous community. So, for example, over the past 2 years, we have carved out $10 million for federally recognized Indian tribes for emergency rental assistance under the Family Homelessness and Prevention Program. There's $150 million for two different new first-generation homebuyer assistance that's going to provide down payment to primarily BIPOC households. We have in our election bill something interesting, and I don't know where this is located at this time, so I hope you are all looking out for this. But there is, we passed a bill that allowed for temporary pop-up polling locations, and those locations have to be designated by county auditors or municipal clerks. And we hope that they are being established on reservations at the request of Indian tribes. So reach out to your tribal authority and ask them if there are any of those pop-up polling locations that that are going to allow you to vote near your own reservation or near where you live. As the author of the Missing and Murdered Indigenous Women's Task Force and then creator of the First in the Nation MMIR office, we also established a reward fund, and I'm not going to say it. It's in Ojibwe, and it's about 75 letters long. But we established this reward fund, put $250,000 in there as seed money, and that provides incentives and rewards for information to help solve cases of missing and murdered Indigenous relatives. And I'm really proud to say that along with that, we created the, I'm sure you're seeing them all over the state, the MMIR license plate, that specialty license plate that anyone in Minnesota can purchase. You don't have to be native to sport it. And those dollars from that license plate are going towards this reward fund, which is incredible. And I saw a report the other day that showed that the MMIR license plate is second only to the Vikings license plate in purchases. And that was really exciting for me. It was really exciting to know that that there are lots of people out there willing and eager to purchase those license plates and recognize the value of the work that we've been doing for quite some time now. I think I passed that MMIW bill back in 2019, I think it was, when I was in the Minnesota House. And since then, we've been able to really do some incredible work around that. And again, when I'm out and about talking about these things, especially in the national community, they ask how we were able to do that. And I'm just looking up at the information that I got. So we have 2,546 MMIR license plates out there, and I think that's absolutely fabulous. So if you're up to freshening up your license plate, please do so and choose one of those MMIR off license build. We were talking a little bit about the good work that we've been doing. I have to tell you, we put $12.9 million increase in American Indian education aid. And school districts and charter schools, tribal contract schools that are operating an American Indian education program are eligible for these dollars. And it's absolutely fabulous. We also put $15 million in the next biennium for Native language revitalization grants and so much more. It's extremely exciting for me that we've been able to do this kind of work here in Minnesota and be the beacon for all across the country. It makes me proud to serve you, and it makes me proud to be a descendant of a strong, long line of Lakota folks back in the Dakotas. So I think I'm just about up with my time. I guess I want to thank you once again for allowing me to be here and remember Monday. And if you have a moment to take some quiet time and a smudge and offer your tobacco and thank Uchimaka for this beautiful land that we live on, and recognize that we are still here and we are going to be here for a while. So let's do some good work. Thank you so much. Wopila Tanka Chimigwich.
Pina Gigi Mary, for all that you do for us on Native Roots Radio. And
you're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for Matinee on Air.
ABC News, I'm Chuck Sievertson. Among those campaigning in battleground state Pennsylvania for Kamala Harris, her boss in Philadelphia, President Biden.
4 years ago, I picked Kamala to be my vice president. I picked her because she's smart and tough. She's a first-rate district attorney out in California, an attorney general, and then U.S. senator. But most of all, I picked her because she has character and she has integrity.
Georgians have demolished the previous first-day early voting record today. Over 300,000 votes cast, says the Secretary of State's office. It's more than double the previous record in 2020. Family of a man killed by Hurricane Helene flooding in Tennessee has filed a wrongful death lawsuit against the company he worked for. They claim workers were forced to stay even when managers knew conditions were becoming dangerous. Two men arrested for a mass shooting that left one person dead, nine injured near a Tennessee State University homecoming football game last weekend. This is ABC News.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Civic Media News, I'm Derek Tritz. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Your neighborhood Walgreens stores might not be around much longer. Savannah Tome Olson explains.
Walgreens is set to close a big portion of its pharmacies, 1,200 of them, over the next 3 years. Both Walgreens and CVS have been struggling with higher competition and lower prescription payments. No word yet on which locations will close. I'm Savannah Tome Olson.
A Milwaukee Public Schools clerical error has forfeited the entire football season for its Pulaski and Bayview High School teams. Both teams are also banned from the playoffs for 2 years. This is all due to Milwaukee Public Schools not reporting conference changes to the Wisconsin Interscholastic Athletic Association. Coaches for both teams hope the WIAA can provide an alternative. And that's what you need to know. I'm Derek Tritz, and this is Civic Media News.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. It seems like people cannot hate the Joker sequel enough. The film has reviewed poorly with critics and audiences and a legendary screenwriter. Paul Schrader is jumping into the fray, saying he went shopping in the middle of the film. Schrader says he got so bored he went to the store and came back and watched about 10 minutes and then just left altogether. The man who wrote Taxi Driver, Raging Bull, and Affliction said, "I don't like either of those people. I don't like them as actors. I don't like them as characters. If they came to your house, you'd slip out the back door." That's right. He hates the movie so much he'd leave his house while strangers were there. Ouch. Speaking of the Joker, the studio behind Folio Do, Warner Brothers, says it expects to lose between $150 and $200 million on the movie. Variety reports that the film's domestic box office take will probably top out at about $65 million and about $210 million globally. Unfortunately, it costs $200 million to make and $100 million to market. That's more money than I make in a year. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly clear tonight to low in the low 30s, freeze warning issued. Sunshine returns tomorrow, a little warmer, high mid-50s. For Thursday and Friday, sunshine continues along with the warming trend, breezy, high mid-60s Thursday, upper 60s Friday. Currently, it's 44 degrees.
Trying to find a place to stay in Green Bay for the big draft? Go to SimpleLifeRentals.com. Vacation rentals made simple. Our dedicated team of local experts have a passion for hospitality, creating seamless guest experiences for guests. Experience the NFL draft in a vacation home instead of a hotel room. With seamless check-in and check-out procedures and round-the-clock dedicated support, you'll enjoy the convenience of instant online booking at SimpleLifeRentals.com, guaranteeing you a stress-free start to your vacation. SimpleLifeRentals.com.
Covering all the news that affects you with humor and a unique perspective. Matt and Air on Air with Jane Matt and Air. Weekdays 10 till noon on the talk of Green Bay, 97.9 FM and 1590 AM WGBW, and on the Civic Media app.
The backseat. Check the backseat.
Gets in your head, right? Good, because every year dozens of children are forgotten in the backseat. Cars get hot fast and can be deadly. So get it in your head. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time. Pat Kreitlow, Trigvi Olsen, as we welcome special guest, author, and commentator Ari Berman. Don't miss it.
The Todd Albaugh Show. Weekdays noon till 2.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Hi, this is Representative Charisse Davids from Kansas. I'm Ho-Chunk, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Native American Community Development Institute, or NACD, in Minneapolis.
Hey, Haley, we got to get going here. We only got a few minutes in this segment, but there's so much going on here all over Turtle Island in the next few days and leading up to Indigenous Peoples Day on Monday. First one is like tonight from 5 to 8. It's a Native night market, and there's live performances and music, and that's 788 East 7th Street, Indigenous Roots Culture Arts Center.
Yes, so this is a fun one. This is a lot of the markets that we tend to go to throughout community happen during the day or happen during work hours on weekdays, I guess. But this is the Native Night Market happening on the second Friday of each month. So it will be October 11th, this Friday tonight. Yes, at Indigenous Roots Cultural Arts Center in St. Paul. There's going to be Native beverages available, which is interesting. I'm hoping some like hot tea or something. I know that Trickster Tacos will be there with their food truck, which is amazing. They got that Ho-Chunk flair in their recipe. There's going to be vendors and different things going on at that Native Night Market. And the second for November, I guess their date is Friday, November 8th. They'll be doing the same thing.
Oh, wow. Cool. Hey, and then our friends at Awamni, which, you know, Haley, you know me, it took me a few years to be able to say that name of the restaurant correctly. Awamni is celebrating Indigenous culture, and they are having a big free family event, Waterworks in Mill Ruins Park, from 1 to 5 on October 12th on Saturday. And I know last year we went to that, and that was a lot of fun. We saw a lot of relatives. There's music going on and a couple MCs that have been on the radio show, Trish Cook and Deanna Standing Cloud, and Steve Turner will be there, Bear Runner, and James Garvin. James Harbin, and Twin City Intertribal Dancers, War Bonnet, a lot going on there. I will definitely want to stop by there, and I know the weather's getting perfect temperature to wear one of my cool AIM jackets.
Oh, yeah, I know. I love this weather. It is going to cool down a bit more this next coming week, which might be a little, you know, like a brush of fresh air. You know what I'm trying to say.
It's cool. I'm rubbing off on you, after all this time in a good way and not so good way, too. Oh, hey, there's a corn festival is going on 3 days.
I think this post was like 3 days ago. Yeah, I know.
It's Saturday, October 12th, 12 to 4. More stuff going on. The Dream of Wild Health Corn Festival is family friendly event. So bring your friends and family out for a day of educational fun. Learn all about Indigenous history and connections to corn. Enter a raffle at the festival for your chance to win a beautiful handmade crafts and more. Sounds great. We love Dream of Wild Health.
Yeah, we do. Dream of Wild Health partners with the Four Sisters Farmers Market with NACD. And every Thursday at the Farmers Market that runs through the end of October, Dream of Wild Health is there doing some food demos and always having some healthy, indigenously grown garden types of vegetables and foods to offer to our community for really reasonable prices. And I just want to mention, too, the Four Sisters Farmers Market does accept SNAP and EBT and Market Bucks.
Right on. Let me just say one quick thing about the Corn Festival, too. Hope Flanagan, who you've met and I've met and been on the show many times, is just an unbelievable storyteller. And it has so much to do with the earth and sky and Mother Earth and our food sovereignty.
Yeah, it really does. I've heard her too, like say like certain dishes have different stories behind them with like the different vegetables that you use and stuff. The Corn Festival. So I didn't know this when I first learned about Dream of Wild Health, but their farm, their main farm, is in Hugo. So it's a little bit north of the Twin Cities. If you want to go to this Corn Festival, that address is 16. 0085 Jeffrey Avenue North, Hugo, Minnesota.
But definitely worth it if you're looking to do some family free events this weekend.
Absolutely. And it's kind of out towards you, where you live, out in the deep north there, sort of.
kind of. Yeah, where I grew up, for sure. Kind of like that Forest Lake area, Columbus. Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, our friend that we had on, and geez, just a side note, did you watch any of the basketball game last night?
Oh, the Lynx, the yeah. Minnesota Lynx. Oh, my goodness. Biggest, you know, biggest, I'm what bad. Was it?
Yeah. 18 points. Wendy and I were watching it, and we just jumped on in the fourth quarter because we were just chilling and went, hey, wow, the Lynx are playing. Let's watch them. And it was unbelievable comeback. But that's a side note. I'm glad you watched it and support these young Warriors who are out there going to win another title.
No, I'm glad you brought it up because I was meaning to talk about it on the show and then like kind of forgot about it. But yeah, Courtney Williams was just absolutely amazing with scoring those points yesterday. And really, I watched the whole game, but the excitement didn't really get up there until the end of the fourth quarter, obviously, when they made that big comeback and then went into overtime to win it. But wow, I was screaming at the TV, cheering, and I don't think I've done that for a sports game since probably the Minnesota Vikings Minneapolis Miracle with Stephon Diggs.
Jeez, that was a while ago.
I know. So that was cool.
He's been on like three teams since.
I know. Not doing too well, I heard, too. Well, but yeah, we got Brooks Indigenous Peoples Basketball, Indigenous Peoples Weekend, which is the basketball expo that Brooke LaFleau is putting on, CEO of Nene Johnny's One of Ones. This will be at Johnson High School this year. It's both days this weekend, October 12th through the 13th. Both days start off at 9:30 a.m. and then go until 8 p.m. in the evening. There's going to be different types of tournaments, basketball tournaments with all age groups. There's going to be native art vendors as well and some musical performances and voter information and different types of information from community groups that are going to be tabling there as well.
Awesome. Hey, let's bring up our friend Trish Unker, another Ho-Chunk person, was on the show a few days ago, and we were talking about their powwow.
Yes. And, you know, I wasn't sure if we were going to make it to Wisconsin this weekend, but sounds like you're in the market to go to the Green Bay game, the Packers game on Sunday.
Oh, we both are.
Yeah, we might be. Yeah, that might be the first time I will probably support the Packers. But
well, you don't have to. You can just watch in awe and soak it up and then go, you know what? I never have to do this ever again. Plus, it's in a suite, so we don't have to. We don't have to commingle with a lot of unruly Packer fans.
Oh, I know. Yeah, like half of them are our relatives, too.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Well, I was thinking, too, because Indigenous Peoples Day is coming up, it'll be kind of nice. I've only been to Green Bay once, and that's, you know, kind of like where our Ho-Chunk origin story is along the banks up there, which it will be kind of spiritual to be in that area around this weekend, too.
Well, maybe we should go an hour earlier then, 6 in the morning.
Okay, waking up early Sunday morning and Monday morning for that sunrise ceremony.
Practicing. And did you hear that it's only going to get up to 52? So it'll be in the 30s when you'll be done swimming, but I'll be there with my parka on because I'm old and not used to cold weather, you know.
Yeah, it is. The temperatures are going to drop, as I mentioned. So I think it's going to be a high of maybe 36 the morning of Monday, the 14th, here in the Twin Cities. So if you're planning to attend that sunrise ceremony at 7 a.m. at Thomas Beach at Bethe Makoska, dress warm, especially if you're planning on doing the lake plunge with Rachel and I and the girls.
Right on, right on. Good to hear. We've already talked about Indigenous People Today Market at Indigenous Roots. Let's go and talk a little bit about now what you just mentioned, Indigenous People's Day Sunrise Ceremony.
Yeah, so we have the Sunrise Ceremony. I think there's going to be an Eagle and Condor Native Wellness Center event going on Sunday, October 13th, though, from noon to 4 p.m. Trickster Tacos will be there then too. It's kind of like another Indigenous People's Day Market, but that will be Sunday the 13th from noon to 4 if you're looking for something to do. But yeah, come Monday, bright and early, Indigenous People's Day 2024 Sunrise Ceremony at Bethe Makoska, Thomas Beach. All are invited to come together with the Metropolitan Urban Indian Directors and our Native community. We welcome our allies and everyone to come start the day off in a good way with us.
You know, and I got to say, bring a flashlight, because at that time in the morning when you're getting ready to get there, it's dark, and sometimes we forget about that, but that's the case. It's pretty dark, and this is probably about my fourth or fifth one going to, and I know I'm prepared now. I'll have a jacket and a hat and little mittens and a flashlight.
Yeah, maybe some like a hot coffee too or something.
I think they have it there. Another thing I was going to mention. They're going to have like a Hertz donut. No, just kidding. They're going to have donuts and coffee there. I'll give you a Hertz donut, Haley, there.
Thank you. Those are pretty good.
That's when you hit somebody on the shoulder and go, Hertz donut.
Hertz donut. No.
So the address is 3740 West Bedea Mikaska Parkway, and we'll see you there. There's so much more going on here. We got to keep rolling. We only got a minute left.
Yes. So come Monday after the sunrise ceremony, you can either stay on the Minneapolis side or head over to St. Paul. But there's going to be Indigenous Peoples Day celebrations in Minneapolis with Indian Health Board, NACDI, with Make Voting a Tradition, and American Indian OIC. This is off of Franklin Avenue from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. on Monday. And that address is 1845 Franklin Avenue East. I think they're talking voter stuff.
Yeah, definitely. Hey, and then if you're afraid like I am, I don't like to get into Minneapolis. I get afraid when I go across that river. I'll stay in St. Paul and go to the Tradition and Teaching Togetherness and at the Indigenous Peoples Day at AIM, American Indian Magnet School in St. Paul. And that starts at 10 to 2, and it'll be a feast and a whole bunch of cool stuff, and educator and vendors are welcome. And again, how much more do we got to talk about here? We got another one here. Oh, you already talked about this at the AIOIC on 1845 Franklin.
Yes, that's the one in Minneapolis. But yeah, Monday's going to be Indigenous Peoples Day, and it's definitely going to be a good day to be Indigenous.
Yes, good call. Hey, this is Native Roots Radio, and we'll be right back after the short break. Thanks, Haley. That was a lot. Ho-wah.
The city of Minneapolis is now on Native Roots Radio with Minneapolis AIR. AIR stands for American Indian Relations. Guest host Christine McDonald talks to people about important things affecting the city's Native communities. Minneapolis AIR dives into topics like public safety, public health, elections, and so much more. Tune in to Minneapolis AIR on Native Roots Radio from 5 to 6 p.m. on the second Wednesday of every month, right here on AM 950.
Minnesotans age 65 plus might qualify for Health Partners Minnesota Senior Health Options. The plan includes personal support, coverage for medical prescription drugs and dental, plus over 30 extra benefits. Eligibility information is available at healthpartners.com/oneplan. Health Partners is a health plan that contracts with both Medicare and the Minnesota Medical Assistance Medicaid program to provide benefits of both programs to enrollees. Enrollment in Health Partners depends on contract renewal.
J&S Bean Factory is a Native-owned, community-supported, cozy, artsy coffee shop which offers roasted on-site beans, live music, and baked goods. Relax in the beautiful outside patio. City Pages writes, voted top 10 coffee shops. Tucked into a quiet corner of St. Paul's Highland Park neighborhood, this coffee shop roasts beans on-site from the best coffee-growing countries in the world. Located at 1518 Randolph Avenue, St. Paul. The good stuff.
For nearly 10 years, Make Voting a Tradition has empowered Native American communities by bringing friends and families together to talk about important issues. NVAT is increasing voter turnout and ensuring Native voices shape the future. This election season, skip the crowds and vote early in Minnesota. Elders and busy voters can vote in person before Election Day. Find your early voting location at sos.state.mn.us. Let's make voting a lasting tradition for generations to come.
Hi, I'm Jane Fonda, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is brought to you by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations.
Howl! Hey, I want to introduce my awesome and beautiful wife, Wendy. Wendy's been an animal advocate for many years, and she's been on the radio for 8 years here on Native Roots Radio, and I've learned so much when she talks about her sacred relatives with hooves, tails, fins, and big noses and ears.
Hey, everybody. My name is Hanaji Hihani. That means cares for them. I was given that name by my Dega Curtis. Curtis goes by Mashke Hanajinga, which means walks on white clouds. I'm a humane policy volunteer leader for the Humane Society of the United States, and I work on animal issues at the local and state level. It's always my pleasure to do that. I found an interesting article. Did you want to hear about the Titanic?
Yes.
Okay. So this, they called the Titanic the RMS Titanic, and I never heard them call it the RMS. Have you, Robert?
No. What does that stand for?
So I looked it up, and it's because it stands for Royal Mail Ship, Mail, M-A-I-L, and because the Titanic had a mail room and a post office on decks G and F, and that's why they called it RMS. So anyway, here's a article about the animals and dogs that were on the Titanic. The RMS Titanic carried more than just human passengers. It also had 12 canine companions on board. Among them were a variety of breeds, including a French bulldog, a Pekingese, a fox terrier, two Pomeranians, and a Great Dane. These dogs were a testament to the wealth and status of some passengers, but their fate on that fateful voyage was as tragic as the ships. As the Titanic met its end, the chaos and confusion on the sinking ship left many to face unimaginable choices. In the scramble to safety, only three of the 12 dogs survived, a Pekingese and two Pomeranians. These smaller breeds were more easily hidden and were likely smuggled onto the lifeboats, providing them with a rare chance of survival. Mm. Among the tragic stories from that night is that of Elizabeth Isham, a 50-year-old passenger whose loyalty to her Great Dane exemplified profound devotion. As the Titanic sank, Islam was informed that her Great Dane was too large to be accommodated on the lifeboats. Faced with this heartbreaking decision, she chose to remain with her dog rather than abandon him. Elizabeth's Isham's body was discovered days after the ship sinking, still clinging to her beloved Great Dane. Mm. Yeah. You know, honestly, if that was the choice, like I was thinking about the floods, you know, during the hurricane, and if I couldn't take Wanda with me, I don't know, Robert, I would not be able to leave her. I'm sorry. I would not be able to leave.
I'd give you guys a big kiss before I jump on the life ship.
Oh, my God. I know, right? But because she's like my baby. I could just never leave my baby. And I'm sure that Elizabeth, you know, on the Titanic felt that same way. But anyway, on to more happy note. Today, Robert, we saw our first lawn sign that said dogs for Kamala. Because I've been seeing so many that say cats for Kamala, right? Mm-hmm. With cat pictures and everything. And this one said dogs for Kamala. So I really like that. But anyway, it's Fun Fact Friday. Let's just go into a couple of fun memes that I have here, and I'll describe them and tell you what's going on. So there's a dog, and the dog is a waiter at a restaurant, and the manager comes over to the waiter dog and says, "Remember, it's may I take your plate, not may I lick your plate." And the waiter dog says, "Yeah, that's a tough one for me." Isn't that cute? All right, so here's a meme with a human mom and dad, and the dog is coloring doodles on the wall with a crayon.
And the husband said, yeah, you're the one who wanted a labradoodle.
Oh.
That dog looks like a labradoodle. And he's doodling on the wall. It's kind of cute, right? I know. Here's a dog who's at a bookstore. And the dog is up at the register. And the dog says, do you have a card that says congratulations for destroying your brand new squeaky toy under 1 minute? And then the doggy cashier says, it's in our notable achievements section.
Oh, my God.
Oh, gosh. This is another one where I have to try to sing a little. Oh, my gosh. I think I said this one already, but I'm going to try to do my best. So here's a cat. He has a guitar and a microphone. He's playing in a concert, and this is what he's singing. Sleeping all day in Margaritaville. Playing. Oh, how do you, I need the tune. Help me. Playing with an old shaker of salt.
There you go.
Don't really care. I knocked it under the chair. He left it out. It's my human's fault.
Well, I've never heard you sing that before.
I didn't sing it. Wasting away again in Margaritaville. Sleeping all day again in Margaritaville. Playing with an old shaker of salt. Didn't really care. I knocked it under the chair. He left it out. It's my human's fault. Okay, that was
Wanda
a little better.
Looked a little surprised. Didn't you, Wanda?
All right, here's a meme. This is funny. This is like a wolf eating, you know, caught an animal and is eating the insides of the animal. And it says how it started. And now the next picture says how it's going. And it's a little dog, kind of a fancy looking little dog, pointing to its food dish and says, yikes, can I at least get a little bit of cheese or something?
Wow, things have changed.
Things have changed, you know. I remember when I was a kid, you know, my grandma, they had three dogs in the house, and in the morning she used to feed the dogs and just open the front door and let them out, you know.
Yeah.
And they would just roam the neighborhood with the other neighborhood dogs.
But they'd come home.
They would come home. Well, she would call them, like, for dinner. Okay. Bootsy, Sam, Jethro.
Jethro. Oh, look at Wanda didn't Bootsy, hear her name.
Sam, Jethro, Wanda, and like my grandmother would
ring the bell or
would call. Yeah, just yell out the house for Jeez. The dogs like she would for her kids. And you know, within 5 or 10 minutes there were the dogs, you know. Mm. They were, you know, and that's how it was back then. Dogs didn't go to the vet. You never took your dog to the vet unless it got hit by a car or was really sick. Didn't have all those vaccines and, you know, flea medications and all this fancy food. And, you know, the dog was lucky if it got table scraps, you know, or whatever. Yeah. So things have changed, you know. I mean, they said something like, you know, in the United States, people spend like billions of dollars on just pet supplies. And it said something really funny. I'm going to have to find the exact number. But like 60% of people who have dogs or cats celebrate their birthdays by giving them a gift and you know, having a birthday for them.
I remember we only got about 30 seconds left, but I remember our neighbors had their dog on a leash, and we thought that was so cruel.
Isn't that
in
funny?
The backyard. Mm. Yeah.
Yeah, well, I don't like dogs tied up in the backyard either, or
right.
in a cage in the backyard. But yeah, I mean, when we were kids, dogs didn't walk on a leash. They just were out for the day doing their doggy life.
Right on. Well, hey, Wendy, any last words? We got like 30 seconds left.
No, that's okay. Well, here's a really quick one. Okay, the woman's looking at the dog and she says, oh, you don't like your kibble? I'll get you something else. And the dog thinks in his head, her training is coming along nicely.
Don't we know that one?
Exactly.
Hey, Peeny Geeky, thank you for listening.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
On the next New Wisco Weekend, what is joy and how do you find it? I'm Lisa Hale.
And I'm Terry Barr. We'll take you to one place with joy in its name, the joy of music and more.
Saturday mornings at 8, Sundays at 11 on WGBW and WISS.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe.
What are you too embarrassed to do alone?
I can't go into the library without a date.
Interesting.
Yes.
I'm no loser.
Grocery store.
Yeah.
You prefer to do that alone.
Absolutely.
When I used to go with my roommate, he would take longer than me, and I'd be sitting in the car with all my groceries for like 20 minutes.
I can't even shop with my wife. She's browsing, and I respect that, but I can't do it. I'm a mission guy.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network. You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW 1590 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.